Okay, we're going to start here on the bottom of Kuf Chav Hei Amud Bet, about 10, 11 lines up. We're dealing here with the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, and the Gemara says, Kasava Rabbi Yossi, Tumat Muna, Eno Bokat. As opposed to what we normally think about an ohel which has a tefach cubed in it, that's considered to be an ohel, and an ohel functions in two ways. It's both Meviyata Tuma, it spreads Tuma under its roof, but it also protects Tuma from exiting above its roof or from exiting the area where there is an ohel. Whereas, if you do not have a tefach cubed, that ohel then is tuma ol bokat vola bokat yeredet. Generally, we believe that the tuma extends up to Shemayim and goes down below because there is no ohel. There is nothing stopping it. The Gemara says here, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is, kasav Rabbi Yossi, tuma tmuna ino bokat. If you have it inside of an ohel, inside of something that is covering it, even though it doesn't qualify to have the tefach cubed, nevertheless, the tuma doesn't burst up and go out of it. Now, as Tosfos points out, we just had the case about a mate biksuto. Mate biksuto, we said there, because the mate is significant, and it batel the iksuto, and therefore it is tumatoho, there is bokat vola. Tosfos says the same thing is true by the kuliyat. By the kuliyat, which is the bone or the femur, where you have a totally sealed bone with the marrow inside of it, it will still be mitame bohel, kamo mate biksuto. The mode of Rabbi Yossi de mitame, because over there again the bone is nitbatel, and we don't say that there's some sort of ohel, even though there's a space in the bone, even though there's some gapping in the bone, we don't call that a ohel, like Rabbi Yossi would suggest, which is less than a tefach, and would have stopped the tuma from going up, that we do not say when it comes to the bone, we don't say that with regards to a mate biksuto. So Mara says, Umina Tamra, how do I know that this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion? So Mara quotes a Mishnah Detnan from Ohalot. Tevata migdal, talking about a drawer, one of the sections of a cupboard, or a bureau, a dresser. Sheyesh ba puteach tefach. Internally, it has a tefach. Internal drawer is a tefach cubed, meaning that it is an ohel. Ve'im bitziyata puteach tefach. Nevertheless, even though the drawer itself is a tefach cubed, the yitziyat, the exit from this drawer, does not have a poteach tefach, doesn't have a tefach by a tefach space to come out of it. Tuma betocha, if you have tuma inside of this drawer, habayit tamei, the whole house is tamei, tuma babayit, on the other hand, if there's tuma in the house, mashiv tocha tohor, whatever's in the drawer is tohor. Mipnei, the reason being, shederach tuma latzeit, ven tuma, derach tuma litanes. Tuma has to go out, it doesn't have to go in. So in the instance where the tuma is contained within the drawer, the tuma has to leave there somehow. It somehow has to leave this drawer, has to leave this house somehow. Even though there's no poteach tefach, we know in order to be classified as a petach, for the tuma to go out, it needs to be a tefach ala tefach. That's missing over here. That's chaser over here. Nevertheless, we know that he's got to take this tuma out at some point. If he's going to take out the tuma at some point, it's going to be in the house. If it's going to be in the house, there's going to be tuma tohel. Because of that, the house is tameh. On the other hand, when the tumah is in the house, what's inside of the drawer, since there's no poteach tefach there, it's as if it's an ohel by itself, and the tumah from the house will not enter. It's not necessary for the tumah in the house to enter the drawer. It doesn't have to go through the drawer. That's not a question. Therefore, tumah inside the drawer makes the whole house tamei. Tumah in the house, the drawer remains tahor. Whatever's inside the drawer remains tahor. Rabbi Yossi, mitaher. Rabbi Yossi says that's not true, because mipnei she'achol hu lotzi'ah l'chatzain o l'sorfa bimkoma. There are ways to take out this tuma without forcing tuma to ohel in the house. You could split it in half, take out a chatzi gezayit first, and then a chatzi gezayit second. You can burn it right on the spot and get rid of it. There are ways to deal with this tuma where you will not force tuma to ohel in the remainder of the house. So because of that, there's no obligation to say that it has to go out of here. This tuma must go out of here, must end up in the house. Because I can come up with scenarios where that does not have to be true. Because of that, even when there's tuma in the drawer, the house remains tahor. The drawer, of course, is tamei. The remainder of the house is tahor. Viktani seifa. On that mishnah, there is a seifa. Now, truthfully, in the mishnayot and olot, there's the next mishnah. And the next mishnah does not say what the Gemara is about to say. I have to assume that when the Gemara here says Tani Sefer, they're talking about the Tosefta, or Breita, that they had. He mida b'petach. He puts the cupboard right in the doorway. Upit chalochutz. And it has its opening outwards. Tuma betocha. If there's tuma in the drawer, then abayet tohor. Why is the bayit tahor? Because if it has to exit here, where is it going to exit? It's going to exit outside the house. The cupboard sitting in the house, but the drawer opens to the outside of the house. So even if you're going to take the tumah out, when you take it out, it's going to be outside the house when you take it out. So there's no definite tumah tohor that will take place here. Tumah b'bayit, if there's tumah in the house, mashe b'tochah tohor. What's inside the cupboard is tahor, because again, there's no obligation likanes. There's no obligation that tumah goes in. The Mishnah Olot, the next Mishnah Olot, actually has that mashe b'tochah tameh, because according to the Mishnah, the scenario in the Mishnah Olot is that the cupboard is taking up the entire doorway. And therefore, the only way for the tumah to exit is through that doorway in the house, and it's got to pass through this cupboard to get there. So that's why this can't be the sefer, can't be referencing that Mishnah in Olot. Vitani Allah. And on that statement, we say Rabbi Yossi mitaher. Rabbi Yossi is mitaher. So Gemara asks, ahai. On which statement is Rabbi Yossi mitaher over here? Ilei ma sefer. If you're talking about the sefer, Tanakami nami tuhurei mitaher. We had two scenarios in the Sefer that we brought down, and both of them were Tahor. Well, so what does it mean, Rabbi Yossi mitaher? The Tanakama is also mitaher. So saying Rabbi Yossi mitaher does not add anything for us. Ella dekamar. The other possibility would be on the Reisha. Of course, on the Reisha, it doesn't make sense, because on the Reisha, we have an explicit statement in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yossi mitaher. So when we say Tani Allah, Rabbi Yossi mitaher, what is that referencing to? Ella dekamar, Tanakama. Tanakama says, Tuma betocho abayit tamei. When the tumah is in the drawer, the house is tamei. For two reasons, there are two possibilities. Our ratio of the mission only deals with one of those possibilities. But there are two possibilities why it's tamei over here. E mishum de derech tumah latzeit, which is the possibility that our mission dealt with. Ve e mishum de tumah tmuna bokad. So that's other possibility is that within the drawer, there's not a poteach tefach. There's not a tefach cubed. And so therefore it becomes tumah tmuna. It's stuck inside of it. And therefore it's bokat. It expands out. Become Rabbi Rabiosi. And Rabiosi now responds. Dikamar derech tumah latzeit. This is what's found explicitly in our Mishnah. That you say tumah has to go out. Yachul ho tziyah lo chatzayin. You can take it out in halves. Olu surfah bimkoma. Udikamar. And this is implied out of the Mishnah. Because our Mishnah in both scenarios talks about a case where the drawer is a tefach. There's a poteach tefach in the drawer. Poteach tefach meaning that it's a tefach cubed in the drawer. So that's the scenario in the Mishnah when we say Tani Allah, Rabbi Yossi mitaher. Rabbi Yossi is mitaher even in a case where there isn't a tefach. There isn't a tefach by a tefach space in there. And that's the next statement here. Uka amart. And the fact that you said tumah tmuna bokat, that you said that tumah tmuna is problematic and is mitameh, and you don't even need a tefach by a tefach here, because tumah tmuna, you have submerged tumah that's covered in an ohel, ain't a bokat, it doesn't expand out, it doesn't shoot out of that area, and therefore here, even if the drawer wasn't the size of a tefach cube, it would still protect the house from the tumah. It would have been mahio, and stop the tumah from exiting, and not cause tumah to the house. So there is the statement where we know Rabbi Yossi says that tumah tmuna is inobokat. But now the Gemara is going to challenge that. Just to note, Tosfot points out that we have a Gemara in Beitza, we have Mishnayot and other places that talk about the fact that if there's a mate inside the house, that the mate has to exit the house somehow. And therefore, all the ptachim, all the doorways in the house, have a din of tumah, because we assume that it has to go out, all the doorways, the windows, until you take the mate out. Once you take out the mate through one of the doorways, then there's a decision that that's where the tumah went out, and all the other doorways then become tahor, or chalonot become tahor, because you took the mate out that way. Does Rabbi Yossi agree to that principle? Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to take the mate out of the house. You don't have to take out the tumah out of that house. Why not? Because you can cut it up into less than kazayit. You can burn it in its place. So Tosfos wants to distinguish here between a mate shalem and a kazayit min amate. Kazayit min amate, which is already a piece, you can say I can split into two chatzei kazaitim. I can burn it in place. Talking about a whole mate, we're not going to assume that he's going to chop it up into pieces, into a little half kazaitim, and then take it out. That's not an assumption that you're going to make in terms of protecting against tumah. The mate already makes it tumah bohel. Tumah bohel already exists. The question is the doorways.
What is the meaning of tumah the doorways?
It means that if you walk into the door frame, not into the house, are you tameh? So the door frames are determined by the exit of the mate. Originally, all the doorways and windows are tameh their frames because you have to take the mate out somewhere. Then eventually when you pick the location, the mafreya determines that that doorway was the one that was and the others are not. But the question is, does Rabbi Yossi subscribe to that? Because he says you can get it out of there without making it tameh, the doorway. The answer is no, because you won't chop up the mate to take it out. Yeah, because it's a din d'rabbanan. That Rashi mentions that here also. In fact, the tumah inside the drawer, that the house is tameh, is only a din d'rabbanan. Because until you take it out of the drawer, the house is tahor midoraita. There's no ohel according to that. The ohel only happens when you take it out. The fact that you're going to take it out in the end, that the tumat ohel is only a din d'rabbanan, because you have to take it out that way. But until you actually do take it out that way, there won't be tumah d'oraita. Same thing over there, but the doorways, it's a tumah, it's a din d'rabbanan, and then you can apply breira. By dinei d'rabbanan, there is a din of breira. Alright, so Rami d'Rabbi Yossi ad d'Rabbi Yossi. We have a problem here because, fine, we understand Rabbi Yossi's shita now, but we have another Mishnah in Olot which seems to contradict this position of Rabbi Yossi, the Tanan. There are numerous opinions in the Mishnah, which is Hakelef. You have a dog, Shachal Basar Meit, that ate a Kazayit Min HaMeit, which otherwise, if the dog was alive, the dog protects against the Tumah from being Tumah to oil because it's Tumah Blua. Tumah Blua has no impact on the house. Umeit. The problem here is that the Kelev dies. Umutal Ali Skopa. And it's sitting on the threshold. The dog is across the threshold, dead, with the Gezayit HaMeit inside of it. Rabbi Meir Omer, Im Yesh Bitzavaro Poteach Tefach. If its neck has a Poteach Tefach, a width of a tefach, mevi et atuma. Then the ksaita mei now, which is in the belly and the stomach of the dog, the tuma can be carried through what's called hamshacha, through this poteach tefach, this channel, this tunnel that comes out of its neck, out to the inside the house, and therefore it'll be mitamei the house through tumat oel because of this hamshacha. But of course, in order to do Hamshacha, it has to be at least the width of a tefach. Vimlav, if that's not the case, enum mevi'at tumah. The tumah is outside the house. There's no problem. It's outside the threshold, so it won't be an issue. The only way it'll be an issue is if you can bring the tumah into the house. That'll only happen if you have this channel that is a poteach tefach, a tefach wide, it's going to the house. You measure it by taking the circumference for every 3.14 vachim that you have that are in circumference, you'll have a tefach that is wide. According to Rabbi Meir, over here, you're measuring it from the outside, and the width includes the walls. It does not have to be a halal tefach, it doesn't have to be an empty space of a tefach, which generally is what we assume when it comes to these things, because Rabbi Meir holds up a principle called chokakim lahashlim, Tosafot points out over here, that even when there's something solid there, we remove it to make it as if it's empty space or the space that you need. So also over here, by the esophagus, we're going to assume it's a tefach wide, even if there's no hollow space of a tefach wide, including these walls, if it's a tefach wide, then it'll carry the tumah from the stomach out into the house. Rabbi Yossi Omer, this is what we're going to be interested in. Ro'in et tumah mikneged hashkof, in the Mishnah, tam hashkof. You look at the lintel, vilifnim, whatever is from in the dog, lifnim, abayet tamei. Mikneged hashkof, or mashkof, v'lachutz, abayet tahor. If it's outside of the lintel, then it's tahor. What it seems from Rabbi Yossi's opinion, the way we're reading in the simplest form right now, the Gemara will do that after we finish reading the Mishnah, is that the tumah, wherever it's found, if the tumah is on the outside of the lintel, then there's no tumah, because it's outside the house. The tumah is inside the lintel, then the tumah is inside the ohel, and it'll be mitameh. But why? It's inside the dog. It's inside the dog, and it's inside of a ohel. Okay, yes, there's no tefach by tefach by tefach, but it's inside something. We said, according to Rabbi Yossi, tumah tmunah, something that is trapped inside, eino bokat, doesn't go out. But over here, it sounds like if it's inside the house, there's not a tefach ala tefach protecting it, the tumah will go up and be bokat. Now we have other opinions in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lozo Omer, piv lifnim, if its mouth is on the inside, habayit tahor. Piv lachutz, habayit tamei. If its mouth is on the outside, then the house is tamei, mipnei, shetumah yotzah derech shulav. This tumah is only coming out one way, and that is when it defecates, coming out through the waste system of the animal. And since it's doing that, it's going to come out of the rear end of the animal, not the mouth of the animal. And therefore, what matters here is where is the back of the animal. If the back of the animal is inside the house, tamei. If the back of the animal is outside the house, then the house is tahor. Now, obviously, as Tosafot points out over here, Venira de Rabbi Lozer, lava kelev de Rabbi Yossi kai. Lozer is not talking about the same dog that Rabbi Yossi is talking about. De Rabbi Yossi kelev sheish bitzavro chalal poteach tefach hayri. Rabbi Yossi is talking about a case where the neck has an opening of a tefach. And Rabbi Lozer is talking about a case when there isn't a poteach tefach in the chalal. The kamar piv lifnim abay tahor, because he says that the mouse on the inside, it's tahor. Alma, so must be that bistam klavim ayri. Talking about a regular dog. Sheim b'tzavaram poteach tefach. We'll see later on. The Gemara is going to discuss Rabbi Yossi's opinion, but Tosafot pointing out that Rabbi Lozer must believe that this mouth or the neck of the animal does not have a poteach tefach, because that's why it's not coming into the house. There's no hamshacha into the house. So the only thing that matters is, where's this tumah coming out of? It's going to come out of the rear of the animal, and therefore that's the only thing that determines. Because if the tzavar was a poteach tefach, then even though the tumah is there to go out there, that still halachically would bring the tumah into the house through the mouth, because now you have a channel that's a tefach wide, it's a doorway, and any doorway that has a halal tefach in it will take the tumah from the stomach all the way out into the house. So it's irrelevant if it comes out the way or not, but you have an opening. An opening brings tumah, period. So he has to eliminate that possibility. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betei Romer, this is his last opinion, ben kach abayit tameh. It's irrelevant which way the dog is facing, it's tameh. Because either you believe that the dog will expel the tumah, like Rabbi Lazar, through its rear, through the digestive system, or the other possibility is that the dog could also expel it through its mouth. It could be mekiyat. It could disgorge it. It could somehow regurgitate it through its mouth. And therefore the tumah can come out through its mouth equally, just like it comes out through its the rear of the animal. So if that's the case, you can have tumah either way, whether its mouth's inside or the rear is outside, and therefore it's irrelevant which way the animal's facing, you have tumah in the house. You could either switch back to Rabbi Yossi's dog and say that there's an opening of a chlal tefach, or you could hold like Rabbi Lazar's dog and say there's no poteach tefach, but there's an equal option that it could expel the meat either way. It could expel the kazayit ben hameit either through the mouth or the rear, and therefore since both are equal options, therefore it'll be tamei both ways. So it could be. It can be one of those two ways. My love, I ain't bit savaro poteach tefach koi. Rabbi Yossi's talking about a case where there is not a poteach tefach in the tzavar. That's the case. If ein b'tzavar poteach b'kayi Rabbi Yossi, shma mina, what do you have here? What's the way the tumah is entering the house? It's tumah tuna. It's a tumah that is encased inside the animal. And bokat, it's shooting out because there's no real ohel. There's no tefach al tefach al tefach. But what do you see from here? This goes against what we just said in Rabbi Yossi's shita. The answer of the Gemara is also obviously going to be, Amar Rabbo, ro'im et chlala tumah k'tani. No. That's exactly Rabbi Yossi's point. Yossi's point is he's arguing on Rabbi Meir on two items. One is Rabbi Yossi b'tarte polik. He argues about these two items. So come later, Rabbi Meir. First of all, Rabbi Meir, the kamart you said ki yesh b'tzavaro poteach tefach may be at the tumah. First thing that you said is if the esophagus is a tefach wide, that brings the tumah. Anon b'tar chlolo azlinan. I don't agree with you. It has to be that the hollow space is a tefach, not that the tzavar, the neck, is a tefach wide. I don't include all the other items there. I don't include the expanse outside of the hollowness of the esophagus area. You don't say chukakim lahashlim. I don't say that I include these other areas outside that are solid, because Rabbi Meir believes chukakim lahashlim means that we carve out, you allow you to chisel out. Anything that's solid is as if it's open. I don't say that. You gotta have a hollow space that's a tefach, otherwise it doesn't work. That's number one. The number two, the kamart, and that you said about Ali Skopa when it's sitting on the threshold that abayit kulotamei. So he says that's not true either. I have a second thing. What the assumption of Rabbi Meir is that if it's found in the Skopa, it's found anywhere along the threshold, it's considered as if it's in the house. The threshold has a din of being inside the house. So for instance, if the mouth of the dog was sitting right, or the tzavar was sitting right on the threshold, then the bayit would be tameh, because it's considered as if it's in the house. He says, I disagree with that point as well, because mikneged hashkof v'lifnim habayit tameh. Mikneged hashkof v'lechutz habayit tohor. So the shkof over here is not necessarily referring to the lintel as being the top of the door frame, but rather the door jam or the door slam, which is along the door. When you put a door into the door frame, you have to put a jam in there, a slam, which the door hits against and stops its movement. That's how the door goes into place. So he says, well, that's exactly where the dividing point of the threshold is. The threshold doesn't have a jam on it because you would trip over it every time you went in. Where are the jams? They're along the mezuzot and on the mashkof. So any door, if you look at any door frame, you open up the door bangs against something halfway through the frame or somewhere within the frame, on the top and on the sides. That will be the defining point of what's considered bifnim and what's considered b'chutz. The door jam, that where the door slams against the lintel, that point is the point of, well, I use the word threshold, but it is the threshold of the threshold, from which point the threshold is considered bifnim and b'chutz. It's not that the whole threshold is considered bifnim. So he's arguing on two points. He's making two separate statements. One statement is that Rabbi Yossi says ro'im, and when he says ro'im, he's saying this, ro'im et ha'tumah. Ro'im et ha'tumah means only if the tumah can fit through, if there's a chalal tefach. I look to see if there's a chalal tefach here or not. If there's a chalal tefach, yes. If there's no chalal tefach, then no. The second statement he makes is, Mekneged ha'shkof lifnim, abayit tameh, Mekneged ha'shkof l'chutz, abayit tor. Second statement, which is that I disagree with your position that the threshold is considered to be entirely inside the house. It's half in, half out. Depends where the door jam is, where the slam is. That will determine the halfway point across the threshold or the determining line of what's considered inside the house and outside the house. And if the dog's neck is found outside that point, then it won't be. Even though it's on the threshold, still not would be considered that the tumah is inside the house. So our suggestion was originally that it seems from this that Rabbi Yossi held that tumah tumunah is bokat. Because otherwise, how does the tumah get into the house over here? He's arguing on Rabbi Meir, who says that I have a potach tefach batzavar, and the tumah is going in. And Rabbi Meir says that's not the case. It's a case here where there's no potach tefach, and the tumah is in the house. So if there's no potach tefach, then how is the tumah inside of the house? Only because it was tumah tumunah that's bokat. And that goes against our position in Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi comes along and says, the case here is that Rabbi Yossi agrees that there is a potach tefach here. There is a Boteach Tefach, so what is he arguing, Rabbi Meir? If there's a Boteach Tefach, everybody agrees that the Tumah is inside the house. He's arguing on this point. I disagree with you how you determine what the Boteach Tefach is. I agree with you, if there is a Boteach Tefach, the Tumah is considered to be inside the house, and there's Tumah Tol here. But I disagree with you about how I measure the Boteach Tefach. You measure the Boteach Tefach based on the neck, the whole area. I measure it basically on the hollow space. It's got to be the hollow space. But the tumah that's coming in here, the reason it's tameh is because it was a potach tefach. Now, a second statement is inside and outside the threshold. It's irrelevant. That has nothing to do with this point of how the tumah came in here. All I'm saying to you is there's a second din here, that if I do have a potach tefach and the tumah can come in, how do I determine where the line is for what's considered inside the house and outside the house? I disagree with you. You think the line is the end of the threshold. I say the line is the middle of the threshold where the door jam is. Now we don't have Rabbi Yossi making a statement about Tumat Munah at all. This Mishnah has nothing to do with Tumat Munah. Because Rabbi Yossi agrees that the way that Tumah comes into this house is through Boteach Tefach of the Tzavar. He just disagrees about what's called the Boteach Tefach. Number two is, when he's talking about the Mashkof, he's not talking about Tumah inside the animal where there's no Boteach Tefach in the throat. He's talking about a case, whatever the scenario is, that the Tumah is here. He's just telling us where's that line where it's considered inside the house and where it's outside the house. Not telling us that the Tumah is in the dog and it's bursting out of the dog. So the case in the Mishnah has nothing to do with Tumat Tumunah. It has nothing to do with Tumat Tumunah. We don't have a stira in Rabbi Yossi. So Rav Acha Brei Derava Matni Lo Behedya. He said explicitly in our Mishnah, forget about we're inferring what Rava says. He says explicitly in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ro'im et ha'chalal ha'tumah. Instead of saying like our Mishnah, the Lashon is Ro'im et ha'tumah. So there it just says Ro'im et ha'tumah. So he adds in the word chalal ha'tumah, Ro'im et chalal ha'tumah, which is exactly the way Rava is explaining it. Ro'im et chalal. We look at the width of the hollow space inside of the dog, and that's what's the determining factor. So he adds in the word halal over here that's not found in the Mishnah. Since he adds in the word halal, that helps to explain the Mishnah like Rova is, and it means that we're not talking about Tumat Tumunah here at all. Right now the Gemara asks a separate question. Mantono the Poligalei. Who's the Tana who argues on Rabbi Yossi? Rashi says that before we established that the Tana who said that Tumat Ol and Tumat Magar are of the same category, who's the Tana that argues on that and says they're not the same category? Tosfot says that that can't be the question based on what Abaye and Rava established in Rabbi Yossi before. And therefore the question simply is, who holds that Tumat oil is not considered like touching the Basar? That there's Tumat oil, and that when you have Tumat oil, that's not considered like you're Nogea directly with the Basar. It has nothing to do with Siruf, just has to do with that principle. When it says Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Shimon. Titania, we have a bright Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh Tumot Porshot Minamet. There are multiple Tumot that come out of a mate. I mean, you can have kazayit basar min amet, you can have rov binyan, rov minyan, you can have malei tarvad rikuv amet, you can have etzem kesaora, all these different pieces of amet that come off, and they convey tumah. Now, out of those, all those different types of tumah that you have from amet, shlosh tumot, three out of those, porshot min amet, shtayim b'chol achat. They only have two out of three categories that you could have by tumat amet, v'shlishit ein behem. The three categories you have by the amet are Mago, Maso, and Ohel. So these three Tumot, types of tumah that come off are derivatives of the mate, they will only have two out of those three categories. What are they? Elohen, malei tavad rekev. Talking about a spoonful of rot, mold of the mate. Be'etzem kisseura, a bone the size of a barley seed. Ve'golel v'dofek. Golel dofek, we learned with earlier in the Masechta. Rashi over here says that the golel is the kisui elyon, is the upper cover, and the dofek are the two walls that hold it up. We saw the Rabbeinu Tam, where everywhere in Shas argues on Rashi in terms of what the golel and dofek was. And I also made my suggestion over there back in the Gemara when we dealt with it on Davayin Bet about what the golel and dofek are. We'll just go with Rashi here. It's not really so relevant about what it is, but rather what the din of the tumah is. First of all, maleta vad rekev, when you're talking about a spoonful of this rot or decay of the mate, mitamei b'masa ube'ohel. Stamei tumat masa utumat ohel. Ve'eino mitamei b'maga. But it's not tamei b'tumat maga. The reason for that is because by my masa and ohel, you have a tziruf. They bring together the decay here are little particles. These little particles are not a single entity. But when it comes to masa, when you carry them, you're carrying them all together. When you're in ohel, a single ohel is being mahil on all of the particles. But when you touch it, you're only touching a portion of it. Because you're only touching some of the particles, you're not touching the whole thing. So because of that, there is tumat masa, tumat ohel, but not tumat maga. Beheichan mago. What happened to tumat maga here? He says, imachat mehem. It's in with one of the others. What are the others? Etzim kisora is one of the others. Etzim ksora, if you have a bone that's the size of a barley seed, mitame b'masa u'maga, has a din of tumat masa and maga, v'eino mitame b'ohel. But it's not mitame in an ohel. Rashi claims that's halacha l'moshe misinai, that's the case. Tosafot disagrees and says that's not true. In the Masechet Nazir, we have psukim to learn that out, that it's only tumat maga masa, not tumat ohel. What is the halacha l'moshe misinai that's mentioned in Nazir? That the Nazir is not megaleach on etzem kiseora. That if he comes into contact, if he comes to me through etzem kiseora, that he's not chayav, he's not obligated to be megaleach on such tumat hamate. But that's all of the Moshe Mishnah. But when it comes to the etzem din, that etzem kiseora is not a tamei boel, that we learn out of the psukim. Rabbi Shimon's brayta continues, ve'echan olo. Where's tumat oel here by etzem kiseora? So im achad mehem, it's with the remaining two. I mean, the other ones, either the malei rekev or golel v'dofek. Because golel v'dofek is metamei b'maga, Uba ohel. The goal of the fake has a din of touching it, you'll be tamei. If you are mahil on it, or it's mahil on you, you are tamei. Veinu mitamei b'masa. But it's not mitamei b'masa. And obviously that is locha the Moshe Misinai, that's the case. There are two opinions in the Gemara about how we learn out golel v'dofek. One of them is that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Whoever learns that it's halacha l'moshe misinai will also say that this din is halacha l'moshe misinai. The one who learns out from the psukim about golel v'dofek, Rashi says, I don't know how he knows this din. This din, I don't know how he gets to this point where he's memayit masa from the psukim. Tosfos, on the other hand, tries to come up with a scenario that because of the expression that is used over there, that possibly that would tell us or give us some sense that it's not metameh b'tumat masa, and that is because it's talking about apnea sadeh. The goal of the vega is something that's laid out on the field, and since over there we're talking about it in tumat ohel, therefore with metameh b'ohel and b'maga, because ohel has the same din as maga, like we just learned by Rabbi Yossi. But on the other hand, by masa, lo matzino shitma. We don't find any masa there, so therefore it'll be tahor. Tosus tries to come up with a snare that you can learn it out, even according to one who learns out golel dofek in the psukim. Rashi says, I don't know how he learns it once he gets involved in psukim. Now, truthfully, they don't have to be mutually exclusive. Rashi could be saying, in shita Rabbi Shimon, I don't understand how he learns it. Because in shita Rabbi Shimon, who separates between tumat ohel and tumat maga, then he doesn't have that din. Whereas according to what Tosfot is explaining, in the sheet, that shita that says that it's from the psukim, he can't hold like Rabbi Shimon. He must hold like Rabbi Yossi, that it's a din of ohel and maga is one, and that's how he knows that the din is like that and not masa. So not necessarily mutually exclusive. It could be that they're describing two different issues. Rashi says, according to him, he can't fit into Rabbi Shimon. Those things are inochanami, but he could fit into Rabbi Yossi, and he could explain it at the psukim according to Rabbi Yossi. Now we know, now we find this opinion, that maga and ohel can be separated. Because you see over here, that according to Rabbi Shimon, you have a scenario where you have tumat ohel and no tumat maga by the malei tavad rekev. It's mitamei b'masa ohel, but not mitamei b'maga. So we see these separation between These two different dinim. You can have a din of ohel without having a din of tumat maga. So kuliyata nevela and kuliyata sheretz, we're going back to our Mishnah. So talking about the bones of a nevela, bones of a sheretz, that have the marrow inside of them, but they're totally sealed. So how do we know that they are tehorim, tanrabanan? Because the pasuk says, benivlita. Benivlita, velo bikuliyot stuma. It's the nevela that is tamei, but not the sealed bone. Yochol afilu nigva, I would think even if there's a puncture, there's a hole in the bone. Tamalomar hanogeya yitma. As it says, hanogeya benivlata yitma. If you can touch it, you are tamei. Etche efshaligad tamei. If you can touch it, then when you carry it also you're going to be tamei. Etche efshaligad. If you can't reach it, you can't touch it, then tohor. Amalei Rabbi Zera Rabbi. Alei emeato, behema bora. If you have an animal inside of its skin before it's flayed, lo titamei. That should not become tamei b'tumat nevela. Because it's all encapsulated in its skin. So he says, "Vektim ko chazi kama nikavim yeshpa." Wait a minute. Go look at the skin of the animal. Count how many orifices are there in the skin of the animal. It's not something that's sealed entirely. There are holes, there are punctures, there are things along the skin that allows the ability to come into contact with the basar. It's not like a complete seal, like we're talking about a bone or an egg, where it's completely sealed inside. Amalei Rav Papa the Rova elamiata. Kulya bechelba lo titame. Talk about the kidneys that are encapsulated in the fats. They should also not be mitame because they're totally encapsulated inside of the fats. And therefore they should be able to convey tuma because they're inside of something. So he answers him, Tachazi tama chutin nimshachim emeno. Can see how many strings over here, like fibers of basar, as Rashi says, there's so much basar that go through the fat into the kuliot. I think you could have argued even there are pipes that go in there. You have arteries, you have veins that are going in and out. So you have entrances and exits that come into the kuliot, that come into the kidney area. So it's not like they're encapsulated to the point where they're sealed, they're hermetically sealed in there. There are either, as you're saying here, chutin, fibers of basar that reach them, or there are openings that reach them. So by Rav Oshia, chishav alel nokva, he intended to puncture it, velo nikva, but then he didn't puncture it. You have a bone, he intended to put a hole in it, but he didn't do it. Ma, what's the din? When you don't have a hole, it's as if you're missing a whole maise, and therefore your thoughts have no impact here. Until you actually drill the hole, it's irrelevant. Oh, no, or maybe not. Meaning that it just, you need him to think about putting a hole in. Once he thinks about putting a hole in it, it's as if he did it, and now it's as if it's open. Now, our Gemara has the Girsa here, Hadar Pashto, that we concluded, he answered, that missing the hole is like not missing an action. That means that as soon as he thinks about it, that's enough to open it up. It's enough to be considered a problem of tuma now, even if he didn't do the actual hole, but he thought about doing the hole. That's the way our Gemara reads. If you look in the hay in the Shita Mikubetzet, there's a hay here in the Shita Mikubetzet, he says, Hadar Pashto, Mechuser Nikiva, Kim Mechuser Maise Dami. So that's the opposite of our Gemara. Our Gemara says, Mechusar Nikiva Lav, Kim Mechuser Maise Dami. It says the other way around. It's Hadar Pasha Mechuser Nikiva, Kim Mechuser Maise Dami, Kitzarech Lomar. V'nir b'einai, shekach nimtza b'piskei Rav Yishai mitranai, that's the way he had the Girsa in our Gemara. U'biksad shvarim yishanim lo nimtza hadar pashta klal. And I found in other old Gemaras, in other Ktavyads, that there was no hadar pashta. The Gemara ends, forget about it, there's no answer, no hadar pashta at all. V'kai chayta girsato shel Rambam Zal. That's clearly what the Girsa of the Rambam Mazal was based on the way he brings down the halachot in Mishnah Torah and Avot HaTumah, because he said that inconclusive, and therefore it's a safek, and there the din is based on a safek. Well, if Hadar Pashto, there's no safek anymore. V'atosvot gorsim ki girsata rimitranai. They have the same Girsa as Rabbi Yishai Minachanai. If you look at Tosvot in Baba Kama, they have that same Girsa. And based on that, you would say that the Girsa is the opposite of the Girsa that's found in our Gemara. Right now the Mishnah. Beitzat hasheretz hamerukemet. If you have an egg of one of the shrutzim that lay eggs, as Rashi points out of the 8 shrutzim that are tamei, 3 of them lay eggs, that's the tzav, the lita'a, and the chomet. We're talking about the tortoise, the lizard, and the chomet, the snail. So those 3 out of those 8 shrutzim, they actually lay eggs. So you have an egg of a sheretz, hamirukemet. Hamirukemet, we saw earlier in the Masech, that means that it's already begun to form into an embryo. Tehora. The egg is hermetically sealed, so you're tahor because you can't get contact with it. Nikva koshu. If it has any hole in it, tamei. Then it becomes tamei. Next part of the Mishnah, it's very difficult, but we'll read it and just try to understand the Gemara, not questioning the science involved with it. Achbar, a mouse. Shechetzio basar, vechetzio adama. Half of it is flesh, and half of it is earth. Hanogeya babasar, tamei. If you touch the part of the animal that's formed already, you're tamei, because that's the sheretz. Badama, touch the dirt or the earth that's around it on the other half of the animal, tor, then he's tor. Even when you touch the earth, that is, around the basar, you're also tamei, because it eventually will become basar. Rashi points out over here, what is the scenario that we're speaking about? Yesh min achbar, there's some types of mice, she'enu perei urvei, they don't give birth. They are not reproducing. Ella, mi'atzmo noktsar mi'adama. They're spontaneous generation out of the ground. Gashva, I'll give you another example of that. Rashi says, like the garbage, meshmeretzet tolaim, the where worms are formed out of garbage, out of rotten meat, maggots. They come out of the meat. They don't replicate. They don't reproduce. They simply are spontaneously generated out of these items. So as Rashi explaining the Mishnah, and which seems apparent from the Mishnah, that we're talking about a case here of spontaneous generation. It's now the Gemara says, Tarabanan, Hatmeim, by the Shvatzim, Eile Hatmeim Lachem B'chol HaSheretz, Kolenogea Behem B'motam Yitmar Arev. So Hatmeim, so now we learn out, L'rabot Beitzat Sheretz, V'kuliata Sheretz. That comes to include the egg of a Sheretz, as well as the bone of a Sheretz. Yochol afilo lo rikma, I would say even when it hasn't yet formed into an embryo, tamalomar hasheretz. It says elat meim lachem bechol hasheretz. Or really, it's called hasheretz. So there, what does it mean? Sheretz, masheretz shirikim. Sheretz means a fully formed sheretz. A pitzat sheretz will have a hekesh between that sheretz that's mentioned in the pasuk and hat meim. Does it's only a pitzat sheretz a shirikma that it's already formed the embryo. I would think even if it doesn't have a hole in it, Tamalomar hanogeya yitma. Plus it continues, kol agoya behem memotam yitma. So only nigya, shefshadiga tameh, if you can come into contact with it, you're tameh. Vecheyavshadiga tahor, if you can't come into contact with it, then it's tahor. Vekamenikibata, how big does the hole have to be in order for it to classify it as being tameh? Kechuta se'ara, it just has to be the width of a hair, a hair's breadth. Because tumah can be conveyed through hair, meaning that if someone has on their hair or their beard, they have a hair sticking out. If the person's tameh and you come into contact with the hair, you're also tameh. If, on the other hand, the person's tahor and a piece of his hair goes in and touches the sheretz, then he's tameh. So we see that hair has the ability to convey tumah. So if a hole the size of a hair's breadth, that's enough to convey the tumah. Now Rashi points out over here that this word hatmeim, the Gemara is used three times now. This is the third time the Gemara used it for a limud. That's what Rashi points out. You look at the first Rashi, Atmeim, Ela Atmeim, Hey Yitera Nidresha, the common dreshot. This is multiple dreshot. Le'asor, we saw earlier in the Masechta, Tziran V'Rotvan, in order to make Asur of a Sheretz, the Tzir, and the Rotev of a Sheretz. Number two, which we saw last week, was the Orotehem Kibsaram, that their skin has the same din as their Basar. And today, which we just added for Beitzat Sheretz. So we use it for all three of them. Tosafot, back on Kuf. Chavbet asked on Rashi, but we have the word Ela over here, and the Gemara said back there that there's a division between the latter five Shvatzim and the first three Shvatzim. So Rashi seems to put them and pack them all together as one limud. Seems strange. Tosva back there says, well, you have to argue that the Mineo separates between the latter Shvatzim and the earlier Shvatzim, but it has to have svara, it has to have a logical argument to it. So the case is by Tziran and Rodvan, and by the cases of Beitzat Sheretz, there's no Sibat to separate between them. And therefore, the din will apply to all of them, all that are relevant here, the tzav, leta'a, and the chomet. Whereas, when it comes to the or, kibsaram, there's a logic to dictate otherwise. It depends on the texture of the or, whether it should be a din like basar or not. That's how he separates between them. Tosafot over here says, I don't know, how do we learn three things out of atmeim? Quotes Rashi, he says, maybe we learn it out because the drush is like this. It could be tamei, tmeim, hatmeim. And that each one of those will give an additional lashon. You could have written tamei. Now when you say tmeim, then that's another limud. And hatmeim is a third limud. Maybe learn that because of the usage of the word hatmeim, when we could have sufficed with ele hatmei lachem b'chol hasheretz. Could have sufficed with that. Or you could have just said ele tmeim lachem. The fact that it writes hatmeim teaches us that there are three limudim out of it. Achbar shechetzio. I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi. Who shitzritza pnei kulo? The only time that din applies is when a whole half of the mouse, along its lengthwise, has formed already. We just read that on the reisha. We read on the reisha that the achbar, the basar, according to the Tanakhama, is only tamei when half of the mouse, along its length, has been lengthwise has been formed. So if you have half all the way from the nose of the mouse to its tail, at least half of it's been formed. Then if you touch the basar, you're tamei. Whereas the Ikya de Matne Lo HaSeifa, some writer on the Seifa modifying Rabbi Yehuda's statement. Yehuda Mer, Afan Ogea Badama, Shekeneged Basar Tamei. Even if you touch the ground that is opposite the Basar, it has a din like a Sheretz. So I'm Rabbi Shul Ben Levi, who Shitzritz Apnei Kulo. That's only if a full half of the mouse has been formed already, along its lengthwise, then the remaining dirt underneath it will be that way. Whoever writes it on the ratio of Koshkan Seifa certainly says it about the Seifa. If you're going to say it about becoming Tamei or touching the Basar itself, then certainly you can also say that qualification when it comes to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi about the Adama, the dirt that's next to it. If the Basar is not even Tamei, how would you have the dirt next to be Tamei? So if you say it on the ratio, you're obviously going to say it on the Seifa. The one who says it on the Seifa says that only for the dirt to be Tamei do you require the full half to be formed. Even though it didn't come out entirely, doesn't have a full half of it out, if you touch the basar, whatever's formed so far, has a din of a nevela. Since it has a din of nevela, you're going to be tamei tumat nevela. Right, I'm going to stop here because the next sugya continues way into the daf. We could start it, but we're just going to end up ending in the middle of it. It's quoting the psukim. It's a limud about achbar and the din of achbar and tumat achbar, and it continues way deep into tomorrow's daf, so I don't want to start it and just stop in the middle and then start again tomorrow, so we'll stop here and we'll start from the Tanur Banan tomorrow.